Praise the Lord. Go ahead and turn to your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We'll be in chapter 14, starting at verse 17. And we're just going to dip our finger into chapter 15, verse 1. You have Bibles in your pews in front of you. I would encourage you to open your own Bible so that you're able to take notes and make markings there. All right, we'll be in Genesis 14, starting from verse 17. Let's read together. After Abram returned from defeating Chedorlaomer and the kings allied with him, the king of Sodom came out to meet him in the valley of Shaveh, that is the king's valley. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High. And he blessed Abram, saying, Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth. And blessed be the God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hand. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. The king of Sodom said to Abram, Give me the people and keep the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and have taken an oath that I will accept nothing belonging to you, not even a thread or the thong of a sandal, so that you will never be able to say, I made Abram rich. I will accept nothing but what my men have eaten, and the share that belongs to the men who went with me, to Aner, Eshcol, and Mamre. Let them have their share. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. Amen. My very first job, my first regularly paying job, was in junior high school. One day my friend said, Chris, I'm going to take a vacation for about 2 weeks. Would you mind taking over my newspaper delivery route while I'm away? And I said, sure. So just, you know, show me how to do it, where to go, what to do. So he introduced me to his boss. And he took me out on his newspaper delivery route a couple of times. And when he left for vacation, I took over his route. And I had 56 houses. 2 weeks went by, and he didn't come back. And I ended up having his paper route for the next 2 years. I had 56 houses that paid me $5 every month. So I got about $300 a month. And then in Christmas, I would get tips. And that would get me up to about $500, $600 a month, which is pretty good for a junior high school student, you know, every month. And I blew it all on bowling and beef jerky. And I'm still a terrible bowler to this day. So, zanen nagara. You know, when I think about it, most of the many jobs, including the one I have now and the one I'm going to begin this coming spring, have come about either directly or indirectly as a result of good connections, people I know, whether it's my best friend or my dad, my college roommate, my church friends. the majority of the jobs that I've found in my life, I've had because of who I know. Right? In English, we have this expression. It goes like this. It says, it's not about what you know. It's about who you know. Have you heard this expression before? Okay. So when you're trying to, you know, find a good job, sure, you need good skills and you need good education, and that's helpful. But as some of you probably know from experience, it's not just about what you know. It's about who you know. When you're in trouble, whether it's legal trouble or financial trouble or some kind of trouble, you know, in your life, health trouble or both or all three, and you need some help, there's nothing like knowing someone who knows someone who can take care of you. Am I right? It's about who you know. It's about having the right association. It's about keeping the right company. It's about having right connections. So as I've read and I've studied Genesis chapter 13 and 14 over the last week, this is what I believe is God's message through these chapters in His Word. And that's what I wanted to share with you today. A few weeks ago, we examined briefly the promise of God that God gave to Abram. God promised him that if he set out from his homeland, the land that he cared so deeply about, his people, his father's household, if he left it, God promised that he would bless him and that Abram would become a great nation. You can see it there in Genesis chapter 12, and we read there that not only did God promise to make Abram blessed and become a great nation, but he also promised that all of the world, all the nations, will be blessed through him. And we see that, you know, that's what the Bible teaches us in Galatians, that if we belong to Christ, then we are the spiritual sons and daughters of Abram. And so the promises that we have here that God gives to Abraham becomes our inheritance, our blessing. And now, the same principle works not only for those of us who associate ourselves with Christ, but the same principle works with those people around us who associate themselves with us. God's blessings that come upon us flow in and out and through us to bless those that God has sent us to. The Bible is clear that God is in our lives to make our lives better. Okay? He's in our lives to make our quality of life better. But God is not only in our lives for our sake, but for the sake of everyone else around us. Jesus calls us the salt of the earth. He wants to rub our goodness into the earth. He calls us the light of the world. Okay, are we okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what we see happening to Abram in Genesis chapter 12 and in chapter 13. And that is, God blesses him by multiplying his possessions, his power, his influence. We see also that God is blessing those around Abram who associate with him. And the one closest to Abram was his nephew, Lot. So his nephew, okay, get this, his nephew, Lot, by virtue of the fact that he is just Abram's relative, Lot gets blessed. Not because he's a good guy, not because he follows God, not because of his faith, just because he's related to Lot. God has blessed his life. Now, I want to just pause right there for just a second, because that is just so good. Simply by association, Lot received Abram's blessing, just because he was related to Abram. Do you know that that is how it works with us and Jesus? Do you know that that's how you are saved? That there is nothing that we did to earn God's blessing in our life. There's nothing that we're doing now that makes God give us his blessing. And there's nothing that we could ever do that God says, well, I owe you for that one. Nothing. All we do is associate ourselves with Jesus Christ. That's it. We identify ourselves with Christ. We follow him where he leads us. All we do is just walk right behind him down the road he's walking, and we get every blessing of God because of our following of Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the one and only Son of the living God. So we're able to receive God's blessings as if we are related to Jesus. It says in Galatians, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and therefore heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So if we are in Christ, all of God's promises are ours. It says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1:20, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. I say amen to God's glory. Because of who we know, because of who we follow, because of who we associate with, God says yes to us, and we shout amen. What a blessing. And what's the blessing? What's the blessing? Well, first of all, it's eternal life. It's spiritual renewal. It's spiritual resurrection. It's all of the joy and the peace and the power of heaven. Of heaven. Ephesians 1:3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, if you knew that, and if you know that your life is blessed because of Jesus Christ, if you know that, then you need to offer up your praise to Jesus Christ, to God, as often as that truth gets you right there, you know, right when it hits you. You say, praise God. Amen. Thank you. I had a friend named James, and man, we called him Dancing James, because these types of truths would just get him on the street. One day he was taking a test, and it was a stand-up test. He had to take it while he was standing up. And while he was taking the test, he started dancing. He said, and he couldn't stop dancing because of this truth. It hit him. You know, he just had to offer up, because he is blessed with every spiritual blessing in heaven. So that's Lot. Lot was blessed because of his association with Abram. It's not about what you know. It's about who you know. You know what I mean? So now Lot was very lucky because he happened to be Abraham's nephew, and he didn't have to go out and find the right person, or, you know, the right person was already in his life. But God gives us Genesis chapter 14 to show us a very important principle, some very important principles about how to find the right people, how to keep the right company, and how to maintain those right relationships. And now, as we'll see, just because Lot was lucky, he had the right uncle, man, he blew it big time. He had the one right person in his life, but everybody else around him, he chose, just brought him into the wrong kind of mess. And that's what Genesis 14 is showing us. It gives us insights into how to keep the right relationships. But not only that, it also teaches us how to stay away from the wrong kinds of people. So the first key to finding and developing the right kind of company is this. It's to choose righteousness over attractiveness. You have to choose character over charm. God's promise to Abram in chapter 12 is now coming true. He's blessing him. He's multiplying his wealth. He's making him very rich in gold, silver, flocks, herds, slaves, everything. And it gets to the point where not only Abram is getting big, but also Lot. He's getting big too, and all of his flocks, herds, servants, tents, they're all getting all over the place. And it gets to the point where they can't stay in the same place. They have to just split up, you know. And so Abram in chapter 13, verse 8, he says, So let's not have any more quarreling between you and me, between your herdsmen and mine. We're brothers. It's not the whole land is before us. Let's split up. And if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. And so Lot, he looks up, you know, and he sees this land called the Plain of Zoar. It's the plains of Jordan. It's just green and lush. And he sees just on the other side of the lake, he sees these buildings are shining in the light of the sun. And it's kind of glistening. It's really a beautiful look. It's the city of Sodom. And just down the road is Gomorrah. And he knows that this is just, oh, it's beautiful land. And the city has a reputation of being fun and exciting. The people know how to party in Sodom. You know, and it's just a great place. And the people there are cool. And they're the trendsetters, you know. They're the ones who have the nice clothing. And they speak the cool lingo. And that's what Lot sees. And he says, okay, I want that. That's what I want. And he goes and chooses that land. I think I have a map of that somewhere. And so, now, what you got to understand, though, is that what he does is he says, okay, uncle, I'm going to get this land, and you can just take that over there. He gives his uncle kind of the leftover land. And that's just the really selfish thing to do. You know, he sees the good stuff. And what he's supposed to do is he's the nephew. He's supposed to defer out of respect, out of gratitude to his uncle. Say, no, uncle, you know what? You pick, and then I'll just go the other way. It's you're the one that got me all this blessing anyway. And if you go to the left, I'll go to the right. You choose what you want to do. But he doesn't do that. All he has is in his eyes are dollar signs, okay? And what he's going to do, he's just acting very selfishly. And so, now, if I was Abraham, you know, I would have just whacked the kid and said, what are you doing, you know? But Abraham let him do it. He let his nephew act selfishly. And the only reason I can think of is maybe because Abraham knew about the reputation of Sodom and Gomorrah. He knew maybe they're the cool people and it's a great city and it's flourishing and it's getting big and popular and fun. But he understands they have a reputation. It says there in Genesis 13, he reads about it. It says, now in verse 13 of chapter 13, now the men of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. No matter how cool they were, how charming they might have been, Abraham thought, it's not worth the risk, right? There's people in our lives and there's choices that we can make for friends and acquaintances. And it looks attractive to hang out with the cool folks, you know, like back in high school. But it's not worth it. On the other hand, God wants us to choose character over charisma. And so what you'll find there is Abraham goes back up to Hebron and sets his tents up there. And if you see, you can see it's just south of Salem. And what we read in our scriptures today is the king of Salem, his name was Melchizedek. And it turns out he worships El Elyon, the Most High God, who happens to be the true God. So his God happens to be the same God that Abraham worships. And Abraham thought, that's the people I want to surround myself with. People who see God the same way I see him. And who worship God the same way I worship him. I want to surround myself with people
who will build me up in my way of life and in the way that I walk. He located himself literally closer to them. In contrast, there's Lot who wants to be around the cool people. And boy, does that turn out disastrously for him. Now, just one thing I want to say to us foreigners who are here. There are many Japanese people who don't know Jesus. And you know what? They don't care to know about Jesus. They don't want to know about him. But one thing I know is that there are many Japanese people who are open and who are willing and who are searching for the one true and living God. There are many Japanese people who are waiting to hear the good news of the gospel that God Most High, the creator of heaven and earth, loves them and wants to know them and wants to be in their life and wants to bless them. And we have to be willing to be located near them, to get in their walkway, because that's who God is sending us to. Just being near the right people is not enough. That's the start. Now, when we find the right kind of people, we have to make sure we stay in contact with them, and we need to find ways to establish alliances. Why? Because, man, there's going to be times, and maybe you've already been in those times, where you're going to need the help of some friends. Not just associates, but some allies. My first year here, my first spring here, we were having a Mitake English Service picnic, and it was underneath all the cherry blossoms. And I had met a guy here. His name was Kazu. Some of you know him. And when I first met him, he had just had a nervous breakdown, and he was suffering from depression, and he's all on all kinds of medication, and he was just a vegetable. His face was blank and just nothing. And I would say, "Hi, my name's Chris. I'm Kazu." He said, "Okay, I'm a teacher. What do you do?" Like that. Okay, that was how he was. And over the course of time, he started to be able to speak more and to open up. And by the time the picnic came around in the springtime, he was able to talk a little bit better and move around and get out of his house more. And he comes to the picnic, and I'm sitting there, I'm playing my guitar, and just enjoying my time with everybody else. And he comes up, he says, "Hey, Chris, let's friends." I said, "What's that mean?" "Let's friends." "Ah, okay, let's be friends," right? That's what he means. And I'm looking at him, this you know, frail, weak-looking man. And he's saying, "Chris, I want to be your friend." And I'm just thinking, "Oh, Lord, I'm trying to get myself in upward mobility. I'm trying to move. I'm trying to surround myself with cool people and the right kind of people. And here's Kazu saying he wants to be my friend." And there's this voice on the one's shoulder saying, "Just say yes and go along with it. You don't have to be his friend. It's okay. Just, play along. Be cool." That's one side of me. And then there's another voice saying, "Chris, you're going to thank him one day for wanting to be your friend. And you're going to thank God. You're going to thank me for allowing him to be in your life." And I'll tell you what, if you know Kazu, and if you know who he is, if you met him, man, that guy has just been the biggest help for me. I remember days where I'm just flat out lying on my bed, and there's no one to call, no one who can help me, because everybody's at work, or they got things to do. But Kazu, he's just at home. I said, "Kazu, I need medicine." And if anybody knows medicine, it's Kazu. But we need to make not just the right kind of friends, but we have to make alliances with them as well. Associations, alliances. It says in verse 13 of chapter 14. "Now Abram was living near the great trees of Mamre, the Amorite, a brother of Eshcol and Aner, all of whom were allied with Abram." Abram had
struck an agreement with the native citizens of the land where he was a foreigner. They were allied with each other. That means, you know, look, Abram said, look, I promise to help you when you need help, as long as you promise to help me when I need help. That's just, you know, that's what it means to be an ally. And that's exactly what happened. You know, chapter 14, verses 1 to 13, basically describes war, a war that literally comes to Abram's doorstep. Okay? Abram wasn't looking for trouble. He wasn't out trying to prove himself and show that he's, you know, up and coming and setting himself up. The war came to him. Brothers and sisters, we don't need to go out looking for trouble. Trouble will find us just by us being who we are. Okay? There's no need to go out asking for it. And so Abram knew it's going to come eventually. And so what did he do? He got himself ready. He prepared his own household. It says there in verse 14, when Abraham heard that his relatives had been taken captive, he called out the 318 trained men. He was ready for what was coming. Trouble will come to us. Are we getting ready for when it comes, whatever it will be? He made sure that he would have not only his resources ready to go, his household, but he made sure he was in the relationships that would help him out. You know, just as it is today, it was true back then, war is popular. It's common. Last I checked, there's about 31 or 32 wars currently happening right now. Now, in this case, just like, you know, in normal cases, it's geopolitics, it's trade routes, it's money. The king of, you read there in chapter 14, the king of Elam, basically Iran, shadowing. Iran and the king of Iraq, they're the ones with all the power, and they wanted to basically do their trade with Egypt. And right smack dab in the middle is Palestine, where Abram and Lot were. And Lot just happens to be right on that road where they're using for their trade route. And his kings, the king of Sodom, says, no, we're not going to take it. We want our own power. And it just goes nuts. And so that's where Lot finds himself. He's just stuck in the wrong crowd because they think they can try to beat these kings. And for these five kings that Lot is among them, he gets swept up in this war that he has no ability to get himself out of. And so the trouble comes to Abram's doorstep. And that's the contrast, is that you've got Abram, and he's got himself set up with the right people. And he's made it so that they'll help him when he needs them, and he'll help them when they need him. But here, on the other side, you've got Lot, who just makes these allies that become liabilities, who trusts himself to people who can't be trusted. And it says in Proverbs, like cutting off one's feet or drinking violence is sending of a message by the hand of a fool. In other words, don't let people you can't trust do important things for you. It's like shooting yourself in the foot. There's people in your life who have proven themselves to be flakes, to be failures, to be complete, you know, idiots when it comes to important matters. And it's saying, look, you don't have to ally yourself with them. There's other people I'm going to put in your life who are reliable, who are faithful, who have proven themselves, who are skilled in what they do. Make allies with them. This happens in your professional life, in your social life, in your business, in your family relationships. If you've got something important that needs to get done, don't give it to, you know, the family drunk who's going to mess things up. Make alliances that will prove to be beneficial to both of you. That's the lesson there of chapter 14. We have to choose character over charm. We have to make the right kind of alliances with people we can trust. And finally, we need to choose commitment over compromise. Commitment over compromise. And that's where we get to our scripture today. So basically, Abram, he goes out and he says, okay, well, my nephew Lot's got himself into this mess. I'm going to go out and I'm going to help him out. And he does. He takes his 318, you know that movie came out, 300? It's 318. That was a real number. And he goes out and he, you know, beats up on the big kings. It's just an amazing story. And God gives him success. God gives him victory. Now, after this victory, Abram finds himself in a situation. He's going to have to choose. He's got his good friends, who he's always had and has always been with him this whole time. And he's got this new set of people who are going to try and get into his life, because that's what success does. Success and victory brings more people into your life. That's what God wants. God wants to expand your horizons when he gives you success and victory. But at that new level of success comes new choices to either compromise or stay committed to what you had before. And so, you know, when God gives you a bigger salary, the choice is whether or not you're going to still be faithful to tithe and to give, or not, and to keep what you need or what you think you need. When God grants you success and he gives you power, more power, the choice is whether or not to use that power for God's purpose or not, or to use it for your own purpose. When God gives you success and allows you your friendships to grow and expand, the choice is whether to stay committed to the people who were there for you or not. But you know what? God knows what he's doing. When he gives you, when he gives faithful people, when he gives them more success, he knows what he's doing. God knows that when he gives, when faithful people prove themselves in the small things, they're going to prove themselves in the bigger things. And that they should have no trouble being faithful to him. That was the case we find with Abram in this scripture. God knew that Abram would stay committed by staying with King Melchizedek and rejecting the offer of King Bera, the king of Sodom. Now, this did not help Abram's situation in terms of politics by saying, look, King of Sodom, you can keep your money, you can keep your people. I don't need it. I've got all that I need with King Melchizedek. He was setting himself up basically as an enemy to the King of Sodom and the richer, more powerful king. And so God says, look, Abram, you made the right choice. You did the right thing. And now I'm going to reassure you. And he says in chapter 15, verse 1, Abram, look, do not be afraid. I am your shield. I am your great reward. You don't have to worry about the king of Sodom. You don't have to worry about those people trying to say, look, man, you're making the wrong decision. Come on, come with us. It's better here. You don't have to worry about that. If you make the right decision, I'll take care of you. God is so good that way, isn't he? He is so good. When you make the right decision, God is right there to say, good job. You made the right decision. You did the right thing. And some of you might say, well, where was God when I had to make the decision in the first place? Well, he was there too. He was right there with you. It's like, you know, the father who's watching his son. You know, he's taking his first steps. And he doesn't want to, you know, hands off, let him do his thing. And then when the son almost starts to falter, he's right, he's, good job, you made it, right? Or he sees his son, he's going to ride his bicycle without the training wheels for the first time. And he's going to let him go. And when he does a good job, he says, cha, you made it around the block. Good for you. That's what God does with Abram, and that's what God does with us. Abraham is given this choice. He makes the right choice to stay committed to the right people, and God says, that's it. The right thing. It says there in Isaiah 30, 21, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you after you make the decision and say, yeah, that's the way. Keep walking. We need to choose character over charm, make alliances, not just associations, and choose commitment over compromise. Now look, I'll be the first to admit I've made plenty of wrong choices in my life. And it's caused me plenty of pain and lots of sorrow. Not only for myself, but you know, for those around me who those bad choices affected. I'm not perfect in any way. But let me tell you this. I stand here as a testimony to the goodness and the grace of God. He saved me. He redeemed me. And He made those bad choices, and He was able to turn them around and work them together for good and keep me from completely destroying my life. It is by His grace that I was able to make the right choices in my life. It's by God's grace that I know the one person who can help me make the right choices. It is by God's grace, that all my other choices will be redeemed and used for His purpose and His plan for my life. So I'm encouraged that I have a hope and a future. And I know that you can too if you choose to follow Jesus Christ and give your life to Him. Ask Him for the wisdom to choose the right people to surround yourself with in your life. Ask Him for the wisdom to make the right alliances with people. Ask Him for the grace to make those, to keep committed to those good people in your life. And God will bless you in Jesus' name.